Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. It is 7.04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. Mailoff, behind the mic. I am joined by Melissa Kay.
Good morning.
Seth Habacker.
Good morning, everyone.
We got the James gang together.
Actually,
in the studio together, you guys. It is so good to see everybody. So good to have everybody here, especially in one piece. That's nice. Take your time out there, everybody, today. Mm-hmm. Give each other grace and look out for each other because those roads are a little rough. Rough out there. We got fun things lined up for you this hour. Our National Day of Calendar, we'll get into it just a little bit. Also got some other fun stuff I wanted to touch on this morning. I definitely want to get into a reminder about our Christmas trees that I don't think I knew.
Ooh.
But they're talking about this like it's common knowledge. So okay. I got to get your guys' take on this one.
Okay.
Are diamond engagement rings going away?
They should.
They are. We got that coming up.
Hot take.
10 common things that should be normalized. We will get into that. The funniest way men have injured themselves in 2022.
Oh, I'm laughing already.
Basically, that is family's funniest home videos or whatever.
Yeah, right.
Like every one of those was always centered around a guy getting one right in the business. and that's basically what this article is.
Always the most popular ones.
That's coming up. We got, of course, an 8 o'clock hour Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. We will also be joined to kick off the hour by friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center. Get a live update from them. Much needed today.
Oh yeah.
And a little towards the end of the 8 o'clock hour, our friends from Quality Plus Printing will join us with our Wicked Awesome Word Wednesday.
Nice.
Looking forward to that. That's going to be fun. 9 o'clock hour, then I write stories, good stories of the day. We got some more to get into there as well. Before we get going too far, Melissa, how are you doing this morning?
Oh, I'm pretty good. It was early start to the day. And then it just seems like it's slowing down. Everything I do takes forever.
It's so frustrating. I don't know about you if you live your life in a hurry, but I feel like I do. In days like this, to start so much of my day, like I don't want to say it all starts like, if I don't have a good first half an hour, then the whole thing's bad. But it really does. I do find that there tends to be a vibe there. And when I have to be this slow throughout the morning, I feel like it offensive.
You may as well join the military. Hurry up and wait. Because that's all it is, all day long. Hurrying up so I can wait.
Maybe the universe is telling you to something. I don't know. You should slow down a little bit.
I'll slow down as soon as life does. I will do that.
When you got deadlines and you got things you got to get into and you can't because you can't get onto the internet or whatever it is, or the window won't open, or the window won't close, or it's just,
Yeah.
Glad you're here.
I'm making snowballs later and throwing them at something. Not someone, but something.
That would be nice.
It's early.
It
may be.
I throw them at you, Seth.
Yeah, it's early. It may be someone by the end of this show. By the end of this show, maybe two people. Seth, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing just fine. I'm here. I'm awake, taking breath.
Right.
It's always a plus.
It is, when you find yourself breathing in the morning, positive.
It's a positive.
He's not just breathing. He's taking breath. He's taking it. Who are you taking it from?
Oh, is air zero sum now? I didn't know that.
They're going to try.
Any day now, probably.
Don't take my air.
Did want to touch on this before we jumped into our opening topic. Buffalo Bills safety DeMar Hamlin is showing signs of improvement in a Cincinnati hospital, according to his uncle, who spoke to the NFL Network. Dorian Glenn said Hamlin is still in intensive care and still sedated, but has improved to 50% oxygen on a ventilator, down from 100% when they brought him in. That is the goal right now, to get him off that ventilator.
Right.
Yeah, get him breathing on his own.
Yep.
Added, quote, "I'm thankful that he's still here, he's still alive, and he's still fighting. We're just taking it day to day and continuing to let the medical staff do what they do." Mm-hmm. Hamlin went into a cardiac arrest, of course, after the tackle from Bengals receiver T. Higgins during the first quarter on Monday night's game. As a side note, I have seen very little but some nice outpouring towards T. Higgins.
Mm-hmm. Because it's not his fault.
No. And this is a young man who has had a really difficult life. To to get to where he has in life. All these guys, it's that you could say that.
Yeah.
And just in T. Higgins in particular has had a very, very difficult life. And his mother is everything to him. And when this play happened, he kneeled with the other athletes and immediately got up and looked for his mom in the stands. Like, didn't care about security, didn't care about that. Hope he's doing well as also, because I can't imagine what it must be like for that anybody involved in this,
right?
Yep. Let alone to be that effect, that closely affected to it. And again, just as a side note, not just a side note, this is a very important note to the story. On the GoFundMe page for Hamlin's toy drive has surpassed $5 million.
Well, everyone's getting toys, man. That's awesome.
If you're looking for a positive here, I think that that is the number one positive from that. And I do think that another positive that will come from this, because I do believe, whether they want to or not, for self, you know, righteous reasons or for self-preservation, the NFL is going to do something about this.
I hope so.
There will be Little League Baseball, they got a plate over Kit's heart. So this can't happen, because it has happened in Little League Baseball before to a young child and everything.
Oh, yep. My.
So they've got to do something about it. And if they can have these crazy-looking helmets and different things...
Yeah, why wouldn't they have something protecting their chest? That's
I think that is the question that is going to be being asked for a long time.
Right.
Because this has happened before in the NFL. they've got a history of this kind of thing. That part of it is certainly noteworthy, I think, and I think that it's going to be interesting to see what happens with that. I am curious to see the narrative too, how that changes, because I'm already noticing Mr. Hamlin's story is no longer in number 1A in most news blocks or anything like that. It's interesting that we were all about this in every single morning show, TV show, everybody talking about this in their A block, and you know he's actually doing a little better. And now they're not talking about it as much. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Right.
But I digress. What I do find interesting is this self-righteousness that people seem to have in this moment. Especially the people that are paid to cover this sport for a living. I don't know if I'm going to cover this anymore. I don't know if I'm going to do this anymore. But I genuinely give any human being their grace. But get out of here, man. Don't miss me. Miss me with that. Are you kidding me?
Like, they're going to quit their job over this?
I would absolutely love if we lived in a world that revolved around morals more than money. But last I checked, that isn't the world we're in. And we can make it that world. We can work to do those things.
Right.
But I mean...
what you say.
Thank you. That's all it is. Don't just because of in the moment you might get a soundbite because you say
platitude.
This thing or that thing or whatever. Just own who you are. Own your feelings. You know what? This is horrible. It shook me. I'm probably going to be watching the playoffs this weekend. I'm probably going to be watching football again. I'm probably.
Yeah. I mean,
you can do two things at once.
Yeah.
You don't have to.
Things are not black and white.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm wishing him his family well. Hopefully they're doing well. Because that's just one of those situations, you know. There's no, I don't know. I look for silver linings certainly, but I don't know how necessarily you find them. Getting into our opening topic this morning, we're gonna actually have a little music, a little audio to go along with this. The Sherlock Holmes Collection, the first film to win the Oscar's top prize, and a classic ditty by Mr. Irving Berlin that you're hearing right now are among the thousands of books, films, and musical compositions entering the U.S. public domain in 2023.
Wow.
Yay.
They can't charge us for this, everybody. We can play Putting on the Ritz all we want. That'll show those copyright people. Wait a second. This isn't a hit anymore? You're telling me this isn't the way everybody listens to music anymore?
Can we play the one from Young Frankenstein, though?
Yes. Can we please? I apologize to you guys, to the audience, for not thinking of that myself as a diehard fan of that show. I said, Put on the Ritz! Miss you, Peter Boyle. Miss you, Gene Wilder. Miss you both.
Miss them all.
When a piece of art enters the public domain, it means no one holds the copyright to it. Mm-hmm. Anyone can broadcast, consume, or reimagine these works without having to pay royalties. Mm-hmm. Books, films, and artworks in the public domain are also often more easily distributed and sometimes free to consume. Mm-hmm. Among the most famous of these are the Book of Sherlock Holmes, which decisively ends a decades-long saga of Arthur Conan Doyle's estate attempting to curb use of the character by other authors.
Yeah.
The wartime romance Wings, and of course Berlin's song you just heard there, Putting on the Ritz.
They weren't very successful at that, were they?
No. Mm-hmm. In fact, and it should be noted that the estate of Arthur Conan Doyle was not owned by his family anymore.
Yeah.
It was owned by an outside group, and they were very litigious, and they were
money hungry?
Yeah, basically. Now they have nothing to stand on because all of his works are now in the public domain for Sherlock Holmes.
So. On TV this year, you already saw Interview with a Vampire. You're going to see the Mayfair Witches. Anne Rice held on to her work as closely as humanly possible. The Interview with a Vampire, Queen of the Damn movies that came out, they were under her kind of watch, if you will. Mm-hmm. Her kids, her family, whoever's in charge now, give me money. Here's Anne's stuff. Here it is. Here it is. And, one of the most notable additions to the public domain this year is the Case Book of Sherlock Holmes, which contains Doyle's final Holmes stories. Though U.S. copyright law holds that the original version of a character enters the public domain when the work is in which it appears does, even if it's the first in a series when copyright have not lapsed.
Yep.
Doyle's estate has at times pushed back against other creators' portrayals of Holmes in their works. That ends this year now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not that they had much of a leg to stand on anyway, but now there's no question now. Yeah.
Copyright laws are really interesting to me.
Yeah.
And how this can work. And the idea of an artist. I think one of the greater debates you can have, especially in the art world, is when does an artist continue to own their work? Do they always own their work, or do they cease to own it the second it becomes out there? Not just copywritten, but just as soon as somebody else sees it, as soon as somebody else takes it in, it ceases to kind of be yours. If I write a song, and I don't know, it's okay, I don't really like it, but you guys love it, and these guys love it and everything. It's not as much my song anymore. It still begins with me. I'm still the creator.
The creator of it.
But it's not really mine anymore. I think that's a big part of what art is. Mm-hmm. Just as much as you can create art just for yourself or one person or whatever, most art, that is art. I love that part of this where you have so much time to make your money, if you will, or whatever off of your stuff. And then at a certain point, if I'm a kid in high school and I want to write a story about Sherlock Holmes, I can do it. Yep. I can do that now. I think that is kind of cool. I think that is the... I can't speak for Arthur, of course, Mr. Conan Doyle or anything, but I would think if I was a writer and I had created a character like that, I can't think of many bigger honors than people wanting to continue that legacy no matter what they want to do with that character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and people... I don't know if people may not remember this, but it's actually supposed to be 80 years after the death of the creator or something like that. The late 90s, Congress passed a law that extended everything for 20 years.
Huh.
The extended copyright for 20
now
years.
Now I remember that.
I don't know if you remember that.
I do.
And it was kind of a, that's why we're now just getting from, the 1927 and stuff like that. So.
Is that because life expectancies were extending?
No. It was
good question.
It was because, one of the reasons was because Disney didn't want to lose Mickey Mouse.
Yeah.
Is going to be from 1928. That was the year that Mickey Mouse came out.
Hmm.
So, Steamboat Willie will be entering the public domain next year, although... With Disney,
You got to wonder.
It might be something going to get extended again.
Well, I don't know. It's hard to say, but
probably not going
to
happen in Florida. Probably not. Several musical classics are joining the public domain as well, including "The Best Things in Life Are Free" from The Good News. Also famously known to which the Madman character Bert Cooper departed in the series. The Gershwin love song "S World," "Showboat." And a number of other ones.
Ice cream, you scream, we all scream for ice cream.
It's pretty much now.
I noticed that was on the list.
Now we can all use
never
that.
In the
No, that just became the public domain.
Just now used. Now we're not going to get charged for it now.
Oh, well, that's good. I want to rack up those fines.
You can go to publicdomainreview.org if you'd like to see all the Happy Public Domain Day, because that's what today kind of is, Happy Public Domain Day. Actually, January 1st is technically it, but today is the day we finally get around to talking about it as a society and everything. That's kind of interesting. I think that is kind of cool. I will say this does remind me of arguably the greatest finale or sign-off I'll ever see. I think there's a lot of great ones. Johnny Carson's sign-off on The Tonight Show is classic. It is the definition of class and how to handle yourself in a situation like that. Johnny wanted to retire. Then all of a sudden, it got too close to the sun and didn't want to retire, but stuck to his word. He wanted to stick it through. And then I think eventually, even literally during the filming of the final episode, it kind of like, you can see the relief in him and like, oh, I don't have to do this anymore. Okay, you know what? I'm good. I'm going to go play tennis. Like, I love I'm going to go play tennis. I got my own tennis court. I'm going to go do that. But with when Conan O'Brien had to leave The Tonight Show, it was obviously under very different circumstances.
Right.
He did not want to leave. That was his dream job, and he finally got it, and Jay Leno wants the job back, and NBC has no... Ooh, I almost said a bad word there. this story bugs me.
Yep.
But, you know, Jay Leno didn't do the classy thing, and NBC didn't act like adults. And they're like, let's try to do this and make everybody happy kind of thing and stuff, instead of just sticking to their word. So Conan has to leave on unceremoniously, you know, circumstances.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He gives one of the greatest speeches I'll ever see in my life at the end there about not feeling sorry for him. I got to do my dream job. I got to do this. I got to, don't worry about me. I'm going to be okay. You know, keep fighting in life. Never give up. Have hope. All these things is so good. It gives me goosebumps thinking about it. He also took that opportunity to see how big NBC's budget truly was because he went out, hit every copyright thing. The Rolling Stones, I believe, I Can't Get No Satisfaction. I believe that is the most expensive song to copyright have. He's playing that on the show. Mm-hmm. He's got a Lamborghini that comes
the most expensive.
In.
Of car on the planet.
Yep. Oh my God.
I remember
he just,
that.
He went, I mean, all out. It was insane. If I have this right, I think up to like 3 years ago, NBC was still paying on some things for that. Well done.
Just desserts.
Yep.
We will take a break right here. We'll come back and get into our National Day of Calendar on mornings at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. Time for us to dive into our National Day of Calendar for this January 4th, 2023.
All right.
Wear some brown shoes day.
Let's see. Checking my shoes. Nope, not brown.
Nailed it.
Oh, you did?
Hey, all right.
Although those are boots, but, you know, they are brown.
They are footwear, Seth, and they are brown. And on
say
my
wear
feet.
Brown footwear day.
What else
I'm
is a shoe? You wear it on your head?
Kind of footwear.
Technicalities, dude.
I'm not sure why, but I like this. I like the wear brown shoes day. I don't know why. I just like it. I don't even have a pair of brown shoes, but I like it. I think it's good.
Loafers.
Pretty
some
much.
Chukkas, you're good.
Mm-hmm. World Wildlife Conservation Day.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
We need our wildlife.
Yes, me too.
The sad truth is that the world's best loved, beautiful, and fascinating species are being slaughtered by widespread and dangerous criminal networks that will stop at nothing to get what they want. What they want are animal parts and products that for no reason, no sane person really understands, are worth lots of money.
Right.
There are plenty of synthetic substitutes for things like ivory and fur that don't require the brutal slaughter of an animal to obtain them. Not to mention how hard it actually is to tell the difference between high quality synthetic substitutes and the real thing. I do not genuinely believe anybody can tell me the difference between fake fur and real fur.
Mm-hmm.
Never had somebody be able to convince me of that. Not once.
Yep.
And do you mean to tell me that no other dish in the world tastes as good as shark fin soup? And that we really have to mutilate live sharks and then throw them back into the ocean to die?
Yeah.
Long story short, there is simply no excuse for the amount of animals being poached every year. This is not a hippie thing. This is not a PETA thing, an animal rights thing. This is a humanity thing.
This is a circle of life.
We are judged by how we treat living creatures.
Mm-hmm.
This is not just for things that we find cute and fuzzy or whatever. This is for everything.
Yep.
If it's, one thing's going to be included, everything's got to be included.
Mm-hmm.
This is like the George Carlin School of Comedy. If you're going to laugh at one thing, got to be able to laugh at everything. If we're going to include one thing, we got to include it all.
Yep.
And yet, here we are. In 2011 alone, for example, there were 13 large-scale seizures of ivory and over 23 tons of ivory confiscated, which is equivalent to at least 2,500 elephants.
My goodness.
A 2010 United Nations report suggests that gorillas could disappear altogether from large parts of the Congo basin by the mid-2020s. Mm-hmm. Which we are in.
Yes, we have started. We've entered that time.
You want to tell kids that we lost the gorillas because we let this slip through our fingers. We dropped the ball on this one. We need to put more of a effort on this, and not just on in third world countries where this tends to happen for the majority of times, but as a world, we need to give this a harder time.
Mm-hmm.
If I was a hunter, I couldn't think of anything more insulting, almost anything more insulting than this. I would think every hunter would be backing this,
mm-hmm.
would be behind fighting against the trades, the ivory trade and the fur trade and all mm-hmm. this. It goes against what you do as a hunter. Every hunter I know that's any good at what they do or cares about what they do or has a passion about it, you use the whole animal. You use every bit of the animal.
Yep. Yep.
Whether it's for sport, it's for food or whatever, that's a whole other subject. But what they use the whole animal. This is the exact opposite of that.
Mm-hmm.
Let alone what it does to your industry, your field, whatever term you want to use. If I'm a hunter, this gives me a bad name.
Mm-hmm.
They clump me in with these people, these cowards. Because these are literally cowards. You're telling me there's no other job in the world they could be doing. I had to do the ivory trade, man. I mean, this is my daddy's daddy, and my daddy's daddy did this, and I got to do this. Get out of here with that.
Well, if the reward wasn't so great.
That's the problem.
Then I don't think. Yeah, I think you're right. They wouldn't be doing
it. They wouldn't be doing it if they had better options that they could feed their family with.
Yeah.
Is it still a cowardly decision to do that? Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
But it speaks to what else we need to fix on our planet.
The
climate
incentive
change,
is there.
I'll say the same thing they said to my dad when he told the officers that he was stealing drugs because it was the only way to feed his family. There you go. Mm-hmm. I mean, find another way. Find the other way.
No, I absolutely agree with that.
There are laws in place for a reason. Oh, and I don't mean to make it seem like you're defending this, Melissa. I'm sorry.
No.
It just is a passionate thing to me, you know?
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I would like to see more people backing this than just the people that you assume to. I'd like to see different groups of people because you guys are right about this. The only reason you're doing it, you're not going to do something if there's no money in it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's stop as we can do something about that as a society.
Let's find out how we can do that.
Stop buying furs. Stop buying real ivy. Stop. It doesn't matter. It's not. Who has ever thought that stuff even looks that good? Like, I mean, this whole real fur thing or ivory thing, like, you can't even tell the difference.
Right.
It is Cabernet Franc Day? Am I saying that right? Okay. I was not confident about that. Cabernet was, but Cabernet Franc is a good red wine to pair with a wide variety of delicious foods. But even though it has the whole day dedicated to it, it is one of the lesser known cabarets.
Oh, yes.
I can't say I've ever heard of it.
No. No.
Is it a specific kind of grape?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Cabernet Franc is believed to have been established in the southwest of
France,
sometime in the 17th century, when Cardinal Ritticciolo transported vine cuttings into the Loire Valley.
Oh, cool. Mm.
I remember that.
Good day. I remember it well.
It's a good day. International Cheetah Day.
All right. Cheetahs are cool.
Yeah, they are. They can accelerate faster than a Ferrari, tearing up the ground from 0 to 75 in just 3 seconds.
That's
crazy.
That's crazy fast.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
Just don't let me get anywhere near one. That's what I'm saying. No.
Yeah.
I like them on screens.
Yeah.
It's Walt Disney Day.
That's interesting.
They need their own day. Seriously.
Walt Disney Day. Binge your favorite childhood movies, plan a trip to the most magical place on Earth, and or enjoy some Disney-themed activities like baking and crafting.
Or watching Steamboat Willie.
Yeah.
Or congratulating Bob Iger and getting hired again.
Yeah, really. Boy, was he just waiting there for that job. No, I'm retired. No. Okay, fine. I'll come
back.
I'll save the day. Yeah. Fine. The name Disney is known all over the world and is the brand name of characters and stories that are cherished and beloved the world over. Behind all of this wonder, the voices of Mickey Mouse and the seemingly endless parade of characters that the company put out was the vision of one man, Walter Elias Disney. Mm-hmm. Known to his friends, which he would consider all of us, I don't know about that. I mean, I don't think he'd consider me the way he felt about Jews. I don't think that's true. Walt Disney's Day celebrates the incredible man and the joy and laughter he brought to the world. Again, we talk about this from time to time, you know, being able to take people completely. And you know, where is your line in the sand? Am I able to enjoy Disney stuff, enjoy Disney products and Disney and what it created? At this point in my life, yeah. But it wasn't always the case. Mm-hmm. When I was young and I heard about what Walt Disney did to Jewish people, to not just Jewish people, but to animators. And if I stood up to Walt, then they threw me to the commission. That's how that worked, everybody. I'm sorry. I don't want to, you know, make anybody's dreams fall apart here, but your heroes oftentimes are human.
Yeah, that was Walt a lot of Hollywood. Human. That really, at that time, you're absolutely right.
Absolutely. Yep. It was not just him. No. It was not just him.
No, but he was definitely a part of it. Came about, don't meet your heroes.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
At the same time, can any of us say anybody else has done anything like he has created
yeah.
and done? I don't mean just Mickey Mouse. I mean the whole thing, the whole Disney product and everything. It's insane what Disney
is. Pretty massive.
It is incredible what that has been created with that. And what the opportunities and the jobs that it has given to creatives over the years, especially once, if I understand right, Walt later in his life tried to, I don't want to say, I think he tried to buy his way into heaven a little bit by trying to make a lot of things better and stuff. But he did do that at least. And that does, you know, you can't mention one thing without mentioning the whole thing about his life and his character.
And just as a side note, what would it be like to have the last name Disney now? Because there are plenty of people that have that last name that are not associated with the Disney family. Yes.
I think I'd change it.
Can you imagine getting the question all the time? Oh, are you
related? No.
No.
My name's Mike Bolton. You mean your name's Michael Bolton? Just call me. I had the name before him.
Yeah, exactly.
National Dice Day.
Nice.
Roll some bones, everybody. Play some dice.
Let's just roll some dice.
I just want to know the history of dice. I find that. I want to see what that is.
Bet you they're old. Bet you they've been around for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. It starts pronouncing those words, bud.
Indeed. Mahabharata. In the Mahabharata.
Okay.
The character. Come on.
It's Indian.
The character of Yudhishthira gambles away his kingdom, his brothers, and his wife. The epic Kukushthira war that follows a simple game of dice makes up the rest of the narrative.
Wow.
While it's difficult to pinpoint the date of the Mahabharata was written, the most commonly held belief in India is that the events described in it happened about 5,000 years ago.
There you go.
That's a long time.
Dice have been around for a long time. What if they were made out of actual bones at one point?
Oh, probably.
That would be the easiest thing.
Probably, yeah, the easiest thing to make them out of than stone.
I almost guarantee they were. Mm-hmm. It's National Cookie Day!
See, it's for cookie. It's good enough for me. Yum, yum, yum,
I love cookies. Cookie. Yum, yum, eat them all. Poor Cookie Monster. When they created
thanks, Melissa. Now we're going to hear this
when
again.
When they created that Muppets, could they have not put a hole in the Muppet's mouth? That poor thing just said thousands of
Well, then the puppeteer
years.
Would have gotten covered in crumbs.
They, you know what? That's the job. That's the job. You've got to handle that. I love cookies. Cookies are great.
And to be fair, they weren't real cookies either.
No.
So,
no,
you know.
They were. Let's see
what
here.
What were they?
They were like they were made out of something that would break apart, so it looked like they were crumbling.
I want to say not styrofoam, but like something
like that.
Cookies themselves can be traced back much further than the most people would imagine. It is estimated that in the 7th century AD, Persians were some of the first to grow and harvest sugar cane, which would have eventually been turned into baked goods.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
The movement of people for trade and war led the glory of sugar to be brought into Europe, and by the 14th century, cookies had come there as well.
Mm.
We appreciate
you, thank them
cookies.
For that, yes.
Thank you. Santa's List Day.
Huh?
I'm already on the naughty list, and I don't even know what I did. Wondering who is on the naughty list and who made it onto the incredibly nice list for the upcoming Christmas holiday celebrations? Well, Santa's list day is the perfect day to find out. The idea of Santa Claus bringing presents to children is believed to have begun in the 4th century BC. But why are we talking about this now? Why are we?
Yeah, would seem yeah, like, or is this for the next year?
Yeah. Well, we're still in Christmas season.
True.
It is the 11th day of Christmas
right.
today. So,
right. Yeah. Let's see here. The idea of Santa bringing gifts may have developed partially from the 1823 poem, "'Twas the Night Before Christmas."
Yep. Hmm. Which actually is real title is A Visit from St. Nicholas, but no one calls it that anymore.
That's I like that, though. And it is National Sock Day.
Oh, socks are the best.
And I want to just give a little attention to these bad boys right here.
Ooh.
These are my favorite pair of socks.
That is a styling pair of socks.
Fancy. Those are bright orange, blue.
It's kind of the aqua blue.
Yeah,
with
yeah.
The aqua
and the dark blue.
A little black in there,
you
yeah.
see black stripes?
Yep.
They match nothing.
And that's the point.
I love them.
Wear
love
whatever
them.
You yeah. got. Yep.
It is my way of honoring Robin Williams. Is always for the rest of my life. Wearing weird, wild socks, even when they don't match, even when I'm embarrassed by them. The history of socks goes back more than 2,000 years. Mm. The history of losing one sock goes back 1,999 years.
0.99.
yes, 0.99. When cave dwellers would make them out of matted goat hair to keep their feet warm.
Wow. Mm-hmm. You know, that had to have been really early on the list. Of things to invent.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, my feet are cold. What do I do to keep them warm? Mm-hmm. You know? Got to invent socks.
I wonder if it was a conscious thought, a connection or not of, hey, if my feet are warm, I'll be warm. If my feet are cold, I'm cold. Like where so much of our body heat begins and ends with our feet.
Covering our heads and our feet.
Yeah, exactly.
I wonder if they kind of figured that out a little bit, problem solving wise in a way. So much.
I really like to see this thought process. these guys with a trial and error. What was it? I'm curious.
When you think of science, you begin with problem solving.
Yeah, exactly.
That's really where it all starts. And
there is a problem.
How do we solve it? Yeah.
I wonder. That is interesting.
We invent socks. That's what we do.
Yeah. We will take a break right here. We'll come back and have some more fun after Melissa's news. What did I have here? Oh, that's what I wanted to get into. We'll have that coming up for you. I'm not going to tell any of you.
Surprises for everybody.
Yeah, you got a secret. We'll be back with more morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here on WFHR, locally grown radio.
All you got is a small moment. 21st century is yesterday.
We didn't appreciate Michael Hutchinson enough.
No, we didn't.
That's a lead singer right there. Yeah. That's a leader of a band right there, baby. That man can sing, dance, do it all. Love me some NXS. Man, I'm really loving these 80s bumpers. I think I'm loving them a little too much, actually.
Oh, we've just started, my friend. Yeah. We have just started, yes.
I don't mean to do this on the air, but I just remembered something, and I have to tell you, Melissa. My mom made it a point to find me the other day to tell me how much she enjoyed our morning show on Monday.
Oh, nice.
And by that, I mean she enjoyed your and Beth's segment, The Kitchen's Open. All she talked about. Mom, what did you think of this? What I really liked is that they talked about the history. Got a big fan there.
That's awesome.
I don't know. What's coming up next on The Kitchen's Open necessarily, but I have a feeling this probably won't be it.
Oh,
I did not even know this was a thing, but apparently it's huge. I did a little bit of that rabbit hole thing I do where go down the and this is very big across the pond. So if you had a real Christmas tree this year, you may be thinking about how you're going to dispose it. Well, here's a reminder: you can totally just eat it.
Huh?
We did talk about this on The Kitchen
last
year.
Last year. A few years back, we heard about an artisan baker and cook in the UK who wrote a book called How to Eat Your Christmas Tree.
That's a great title.
Features dozens of recipes you can make using your tree.
Oh, man.
The author of the book says you can pretty much eat the whole thing. Now I would take the ornaments off first. I would.
Well,
it's a little sharp. Yeah, it could be a little, you know.
No. You, crunchy.
Yeah. Let's be honest. Come on, with humanity, with you know that it had to be said.
Those warning labels on chainsaws.
You got to make sure
somebody had to be told. Yeah. What?
I thought those were the best parts.
As they're pouring syrup on their tree, like I got to take the tinsel off first. The trend may be picking up steam. Reports this week say that growing numbers of eco-conscious households are eating various parts before throwing them out. And the author confirms it's gaining traction. I really want to know what these numbers are. Want to know what they mean.
We've got another one that brings us up to 3.
Yes, exactly.
It's a groundswell.
Oh, that was good. The needles can be used like rosemary or bay leaves and are a good source of vitamin C. Mm-hmm. They can also be crushed to flavor gin or vinegar. Mm-hmm. And the wood can be burned to make pine ash, which can be used as flavoring, as fertilizer in gardens, and for cleaning the kitchen.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Versatile.
And the bark can be turned into flour, and you can actually bake bread out of it.
Yep. I forgot about that part.
Wow.
Pine bark flour.
And everyone's got really nice breath. After this.
Yeah. Yes.
Piney
yes,
breath.
Very much. It's pretty darn cool, though.
It is.
It's cool.
Also sounds like a lot of work, too. But
it does sound like a lot of work. And you want to make sure that your pine is sourced in a way that is going to be healthy.
That's true.
Yeah.
Like, you know, make sure they didn't spray anything on it or, you know, use weed killer around it when it's growing, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it all sounds well and good to, like, especially we love to make use of things that we think we don't have use for, and then all of a sudden we find a use for them.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's a great point to bring up, I think, Melissa. I think I don't know how many of us actually know the, origin story of our trees, history. If it's a live tree and you go to a tree nursery or something like that.
Yeah, or a tree farm, and you know that what they use.
Yep.
I would think you might be able to feel pretty confident about it. Mm-hmm. But I
would think so.
I would feel a lot better about it if there was a way to test that, to find out if there was any of those chemicals or anything
if you
like
know
that.
The farmer and you can just ask them.
Yeah, yeah. Which in the Midwest here, I would think is pretty easy to do.
And I don't know. I've honestly never looked into it, but they were talking earlier about donating your used Christmas tree to zoos because the animals will eat them.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I mean,
man, there's a lot of ways
for them.
Anymore.
It's maybe safe for us. Yep. So, yeah. I don't know.
I was just thinking back to when I was a kid where we would actually go into the forest and get our tree because we live where we live. There was a lot of that. And then I realized, I was like, well, I couldn't remember. What did we do afterwards? And I remembered, oh, my gosh, we had our furnace was wood burning. That's how we heated our house. So we would just use it for firewood.
There you go.
We would use the whole tree in that way.
It smelled really good in your house for a little while.
There aren't a whole lot of things that I wish I could have done when I was a kid or missed out on or whatever. It could be an endless list that I just choose not to go down. Mm-hmm. But that is one of those ones, man. I think that would have been so cool growing up to go cut down your own Christmas tree and everything.
It was pretty cool.
It seems like it'd be fun.
It's fun.
Yeah.
We will take a break right here. We'll let you guys go ahead and start working. Go focus in the kitchen on your tree. We don't take you away from the tree too much and everything.
Sugared pine needles. They make a good candy.
I would try that. I would definitely try that. Well, Dad, I'll try those Christmas tree cookies now for sure. I mean, it should be really interesting. Christmas tree cookies are very different now.
It's got sugar on it. Doesn't matter. You'd eat anything
You're so right.
Fair point.
Very fair. Very fair. Be back with more mornings on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to the morning show here on WFHR. Be sure to be listening at the top of the 8 o'clock hour. We'll be joined by our friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center.
Mm-hmm. They can let us know what's going on out there.
Yeah.
I had something planned for this segment, but we are going to call an audible because both Melissa and I have a rant to do.
Double rant.
I will. I actually was going to start our show here, and then the Hamlin information came across, and I wanted to touch on that first. Because that is definitely more important than me and train thoughts.
Train thoughts?
When you're stuck at a train and you're trying not to go insane with frustration at all this, and going back to being a busy person and all that, I'm stuck at a train yesterday, and I'm just sitting there and I'm waiting, and I'm bored, so I start just flipping through the radio station, just flipping through the dials.
Yeah.
And Hall & Oates, Kiss on My List comes on. And I'm not a Hall & Oates guy. I don't hate them, but I'm not a fan either. Mm-hmm. I grew up in the 80s, and I kind of got all I needed to out of Hall & Oates. But if there was a song of theirs that I like, I would say that, well, man, that might be it, that one. That one might be the one that I don't mind as much as any of the others. And so I just left it on for a second or two. And I don't think I've ever actually listened to the lyrics.
But then you did.
Oh, no. This is always an eye-opener.
When they insist on knowing my bliss, I tell them this. When they want to know what the reason is, I only smile when I lie, and then I tell them why. Your kiss is on my list. Your kiss is on my list of the best things in life. Your kiss is on my list. Your kiss I can't resist. Your kiss is what I miss when I turn out the lights.
What?
These are some of the worst lyrics I've ever heard in my life. Maybe, did a story.
They had access to the AI generator put in kiss.
I'm creepy. Sitting there feeling like a complete hypocrite because I'm tearing apart this AI system that actually came up with the very similar lyrics to a lot of our popular songs. When we have time, maybe we'll do it today, maybe we'll do it another time. I want to get into with you two worst song lyrics of all time.
That's a good one.
Or whatever. So yes. we'll find time
we'll
then.
Keep an eye out for those. You
know, Steve Miller, watch out.
I want a recurring segment too, Train Thoughts.
Train thoughts
to come to you on during trains.
I'll come up
stuff.
With a sound effect for that. We'll have something for it.
Awesome. Melissa, you mentioned soap.
Okay, so the only thing my boyfriend bought on Black Friday was soap. Okay. Because Bath and Body Works always has a sale. So he stocks up for the year. And and while he was doing that, he's like, "Well, we should just buy, you know, like hand soap because it's super cheap, and you can get." 2 for 1. It's like, okay, well, so my dislike of certain smells is well documented with my friends. My high school girlfriends will tell you that I prefer things that smell like, for lack of a better word, a bush.
Earthy smells.
Yeah.
So I'm going through the list of smells, of scents of the soap on there, and I find the ones that I think, all right, these are going to be okay. They're mostly like, you know, pine trees and wood and I went like with those. A couple that I thought would also be okay. Frozen Lake. Okay.
I'll grab that one.
Does that have an odor?
And ocean.
Okay. Yeah, I can get that one. Yeah.
Always, yeah.
So this week, finished the first bottle of soap. It was fresh pine.
Fresh pine, okay.
Okay. So, does it smell like fresh pine? Well, kind of. It's a little perfumey. Like, I've never met a pine tree that smelled like it walked through a mist.
Yeah.
Man, if it's walking through anything, I'm interested.
But we got through it, okay?
Yeah, okay.
So, opened up the next one. Frozen Lake. What do you think a frozen lake smells like, guys?
I can't get there. Yeah. It's cold. Does it smell like anything? Exhaust? I don't know.
I'll admit I would try it, but I have no idea what it would smell like.
It smells like a freshly shaved man.
Oh, my God. Oh, dear God.
That is exactly what it smells like. Nothing like a lake. Like,
that sounds horrifying.
It's just kind of an assault to your nose when you're expecting, like, you know, I don't know, fresh water or something. Yeah, I don't know.
A misty smell or something.
So, so that, of course, led me down the rabbit hole of opening all of the packages last night and smelling them all. Because I had to.
I would do, okay? Yes, 1,000%.
So, the next one I opened, mahogany teakwood.
Okay.
Still smells like men's cologne, but not bad. Not bad. Didn't really smell like wood, but okay. So how about mahogany balsam?
Okay.
Smells neither like mahogany nor balsam, but kind of like weak men's cologne.
Yikes.
I'm sensing a pattern here.
Yeah, a little bit. All right, ocean.
Okay.
What do you think it smells like, guys?
I mean, you know, water, sand. I mean,
a man.
Men's cologne.
My God.
Okay. Fresh balsam?
Men's cologne?
They actually nailed it.
Oh, okay, they did.
Nailed
okay.
it with the fresh balsam.
Okay. That one's pretty easy to make, though. So.
Well, you'd think so, but they really screwed it up with the fresh pine.
Man.
I don't know. But, you know, for all in all, we got six bottles of soap for three, the cost of three bottles, and one of them got it right.
One out of six ain't bad.
Yeah, you know.
It's
so
not quite a song, but
out of the options, though, you know, like I'm not Candy Cane Lane and Winter Sugar Cookie, like those kind of scents.
Oh my God, that's my
actually
sister.
Push me over the edge. I can't do it. Can't. I'd rather not wash my. Well, no, I'll wash my hands. I just won't use the soap.
If there's a seasonal smell out there, my sister has it in some form. Oof. In her house is
give me essential oils. I'll put them in my little vapor thingy.
Yeah. There are a handful of, if you Google worst candle ideas, there are some doozies out there. Dumpster fire candles.
Oh boy.
Where it's a literal,
I mean,
the little dumpster
is kind of cute, but you know, I don't want to know what it smells like.
For almost $18, though? I don't think so.
Uh-uh.
Sorry.
I could make one for cheaper.
Yeah. Whoa, you think that's bad? Look at this one for $30. It's the same thing for $30. Well,
that's double candle. Double wick.
It is the double candle.
The double the smell.
Wet dog. Wet dog.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, that's right up there with dog breath.
I saw one that was burnt hair. Whoever is creating these candles, like whoever wronged you, we're sorry. we want to apologize. Please stop.
You could really be mean and do like a burnt toast one.
That would be mean. Or a microwave fish.
Toast? Yeah. Oh.
But, you know, as far as Bath & Body Works goes, I kind of have a thing against them because they got rid of my favorite scent. Just like Taco Bell got rid of my favorite burrito, Bath & Body Works got rid of the lilac candle.
Whoa.
And the lilac-scented lotion and the spray, and I have never forgiven them for it.
I
never will.
And I support you in this completely, Melissa, but I also just love that you guys have these hills. Seth and his pie, you and the Taco
Seven
Bell
burrito.
I cannot get enough of them.
And once again, keep them coming.
I want more of these.
And once again, it just proves the vast differences between Melissa and I. Because lilac is one of the most, it's the one of the worst smells on the planet.
Absolutely not.
Lilac is awful. Oh my gosh.
We're going to fight this out, Seth.
We are going to get us I'm just going to go right ahead and go to break as I lower these guys' mics, and we're just going to get out of here real quick. We'll be back with more Morning Show here at WFHR.